Flights of Fantasy, your podcast book club. I'm Kim, one of your hosts, and I'm joined, as always, by my book besties, Christina and Anna.
Hi!
Hey, ladies.
Hello there.
We are here tonight to record part two of Daughter of No World by Carissa Broadbent.
Yep.
If you have not listened to part one already, please go do so. It is covering, obviously, part one of this book, and we'll be covering part two. So spoilers for the entire first book. We have not moved on in the series yet, so we do not know anything else that happens. So no spoilers for the rest of the series because we haven't read it yet. But we are excited to dive into part
two. So excited.
Gotta be excited. All the crazy stuff happens here.
I'm so excited.
We're getting into it.
Yes, this is the insane part.
Yeah.
And the most exciting thing was that we get Max's POV.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Loved this. Oh my God, guys.
It's a great
this
little addition.
And you're like, oh, you are a grumpy old man, but the cutest grumpy old man, and you love her, and you're like, this way so he thinks about her is just the sweetest.
I love
sweetest.
Being in his mind.
Yes,
love, I love everything about it.
I understand why Riche was obsessed.
I get it.
I get it, Riche.
I get it.
I don't get it because you're crazy, but I do get it.
Because you're a lunatic, but whatever.
All right, so we open up. She's still, like, in the recovery mode, right?
Yeah, she's, like, kind of asleep still or, like, whatever.
Yes.
Unconscious.
Yes. And he's, like, going to Neura and being like, what? Where is she? Is she okay? Did you really do this terrible thing? I think you did. And she's, like, confirmed.
Yep,
yeah.
Sure did.
I sure did.
He, like, offers himself. He's like, take me instead. She's like, no, it's done. Like, it's done.
I forgot about that. He's like, take it out of her, put it back in me. Like, I'll do it. I'll take
I
instead.
Know.
Oh, God bless.
Which now, knowing what that thing did to offer that is like,
I know.
Guys.
Oh.
I know.
Yeah, you're right, because we don't find out until, like, the next chapter what happened.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right, Christina.
Oh,
I didn't even
sweet
think about
Max.
That.
The love.
God, he's like a sweet angel baby.
He's amazing. He's perfection.
I love
okay,
him.
Okay, so we're there. We also see Neura's full body burns, which
full
I
full body.
I
know
did not
was a thing.
Know that. Yeah.
Which also came from the fire that she made Max set, in the prologue, right?
Yeah. Max says at some point he realizes that Neura never thought she would survive. Like, when she did what she did,
right.
She thought she was dying.
Yeah.
She was going to die.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make it better.
Nope.
No.
But it's
no.
it's just interesting.
Well, she is very, like, devoted to her country. Like,
yes.
She, you can see very clearly that's what she says. She says to Tisana, like, the only thing I loved more than him was Aara.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what she says, Kim. Yes.
Which is interesting. She says Aara, not the Order.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting.
Which we're going to get to Neura later, but I have very interesting thoughts about her.
Yeah.
Mm.
And what she's got going on inside her brain.
Okay.
There's a lot going on there.
Yep.
Okay. So, yes, Neura tells him that he's like, oh, are you making... She asks him to do something. He's like, oh, because I'm obligated to, because I work for the Order.
Yes.
And she's like, actually, you're free, because part of her stipulation in our blood pact was that you are free of the Order and all is forgiven, clean slate.
Yeah.
And he's,
oh my God,
just like jaw drops. Oh. And he says, I didn't deserve her. No one deserves her.
No one deserves her.
No one.
Guys, okay, so
I love this man.
Meanwhile, Tisana has seen better days.
Yes.
Girl is having a rough,
that's putting it mildly.
Girl is going through it.
Having a rough go.
She's not doing well with this evil demon magic inside of her.
Yeah. So Riche's insane, y'all.
Y'all.
This was so nuts the way this
is.
It is
so creepy.
Terrifying. Terrifying.
And like, it's very, it's like all knowing, but young, but old, but also like very childlike. It's like stunted, like almost
stunted.
Like, yeah. Almost
yes.
Like, you know how in some books we read where it's like if a vampire gets turned when they're young, then they stay that emotional
yes.
Maturity. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like that happened to this creature or something. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like she is.
But
so,
it's witnessed so many things over time.
Yeah, it's
that like it doesn't
so
know how to process. It's almost like that's what it reminded me of, was like a child who's been witnessing horrors and doesn't know how to process it. And then it's like asking all these questions in like really strange ways.
Yeah.
It doesn't
it's
understand.
It's so messy. It's bad.
It was well done. It was very well done.
Yeah.
Like I loved the character.
Yeah, but it was like a terrifying way.
In a terrifying way. Yes, yes.
In the way that I was like, there's no winning. There is no way to appease this crazy little thing inside you.
No.
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 If you're nice to it, it's bad. If you're mean to it, it's bad.
It's a toddler.
Exactly.
It was a toddler. It was like arguing with a toddler. And I think Tisana quickly realizes that.
Right. Then she tries to like, it's okay, I love you. Ha ha.
Ha ha.
God, it was.
Don't lie to me. Okay. Well,
which is also very The Queen, so it's like very, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
That's interesting, Christina. Yeah. Okay. So, but Tassana having a hard time. And in that, she is like, it's putting her through like the, you know how Nira's scary shadows of nightmares.
Yes.
Makes her remember things. This is like that, like times a million. And so she's like living through all the terrible things.
Nightmares.
Like horrible. And then she starts, that's all that happens before she starts remembering or living.
She
Max's,
starts,
right?
I think a lot of the things that she's seeing, even it's the like nightmares hers. That aren't hers, are memories from past hosts, I'm gonna call them.
Yeah.
Then she starts to see Max's memories.
Oof. Y'all.
Because he was the latest host, I guess, successful host, I should say. And this is when we get the horrific realization of how his family died.
I did not think it was going to be this bad.
No, I didn't either.
No, and it was written out.
I really thought that, I did think his fire, his flames, were like a part of the tragedy. I thought that he'd like maybe he was told to light a town on fire and it spread to his family, or his family was happened to be there and he didn't know they were there.
I thought they were in the town.
Yeah, like something happened.
The battle
and
happened.
He was supposed to be there, or he didn't remember they were there because of the evil in his mind. In no way, shape, or form would I have ever thought that he actually...
His body.
Killed each of them. Right. His body.
One by one.
He was living in this shell as his body killed one by one his entire family.
The descriptions were too much.
It was
really hard for me.
I have to be honest. I skimmed a lot of this.
Yeah.
It was just too much.
I read the whole thing.
I had to skim his little sister. I couldn't. Oh. I was like, I can't.
You know which one hit me the hardest? Kira hit me hard.
Oh.
So maybe that one was the hardest. But the second hardest was the brother. The first brother. And when he walks in and he says his brother gives him a crooked smile and his glasses fell down his nose.
Oh.
And I was like.
She's like such a human, like. Oh.
And also it was the first one that happened. And I was like.
Yeah.
It took me so off
like,
guard.
This is what we're doing? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It was awful.
Also, there's a moment where his dad, like, kind of sees it's not him. And has, like, a poker or something. And he hesitates when he sees it's not him. And him in his head is like, please do it. Kill me. God, it's so rough.
Yeah, he says, I wish he hadn't hesitated.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
And then, yeah. Oh, God.
And then
Kira was awful.
That was the worst.
And she was the only one that tried to fight.
Fought back. And her little serpent.
The snake.
Snake tried to defend her.
Never did I ever
creatures.
Think a snake would be cute.
Never.
Until this moment.
I love snakes now.
It was like a little dog.
I don't know if I love them, but in this moment, I was like, harsher snake. Never did I think that. I would think that.
When he tried to lie to Rishay and be like, that's it. They're all like, they're all
oh,
dead.
That got me.
Oh,
that got
me. Me too.
And
he was like,
begging.
Okay, that's it. Like, they're all dead. And he's like,
she was in the
begging.
Shed.
She was in the shed.
He's like, you can't lie to me.
Yeah.
And then he starts begging and I was like, I can't. Mm-hmm. That was really.
It's gut-wrenching. But I think we've all said that like, it was obviously horrific, but I think we all agree this was a fantastic writing choice by Carissa as a way for Tassana to truly understand, not just by
live
being
it.
Told, but like living it.
Yeah.
And because Max obviously was never going to be able to tell her.
Exactly.
Who could talk about that?
No.
I could never get through that.
Yeah.
And it would have been not like his character, especially to really
totally.
Be able to, like that would have, I think, been out of character for him to
agree.
Really
yes.
recount that to the detail that it was. So this allowed the reader to get that detail because I don't know how else we would have gotten it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
Totally.
It was horrific.
Not that I wanted it,
no.
but I don't know how else.
It was a smart writing choice and I think it
and
helped.
And then she's like, feels like she knew them. Like she like
oh,
understands his grief so intimately.
She wakes up sobbing.
Sobbing.
She's like throwing up.
Throwing
she's,
up.
She's, like
it's so horrific.
It is.
But Max is there and he's like telling her to breathe and he's like, you were talking in your sleep, I know.
And she's like, they're all. And he's like, I know.
And he like holds her
and they're both crying and he's holding her and she says like their cheeks are together and they're like tears and she just goes, you don't have to be here, like go away,
you're free,
you shouldn't be here, you're free, you don't owe them anything, you shouldn't be here. And he just goes, don't be stupid. God.
Guys.
God, I love it.
I love them so much. And so he decides that he's going to stay. Because at first when he found out, he like stormed off and was really upset. But he decides he's going to stay and he's going to obviously help her through this.
Yes.
And so some of the things he does, he goes and visits Via again.
Yes.
Whatever her name is. Gets his weapon back that she had been, like he had it during the war. He obviously never wanted to see it again. She kept it for him. She gives it back.
Oh, it's
she
real
has,
cool. He touches it and it's flames.
Oh, like it's like a transformer. It's like a transformer,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
a transformer
yeah, yeah.
weapon.
And it's two and it's one. It's really cool.
Yeah.
It's two.
And she also says, like, I made a weapon for Tassana.
Oh, just casually. I met her one time and she barely spoke.
One time,
but
barely
I thought
spoke to
she
her.
She was important.
Yeah.
So I made her this really beautiful, expensive blade.
Weapon.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
But like, great.
Fantasy reasons. Whatever.
Fantasy reasons.
Yeah. I'm not going to try to pronounce what it's actually called, but it basically means blade of no worlds or blade of all worlds.
Yes.
Which, beautiful. Poetic.
Beautiful. So he goes back. Guys, this was rough. I did not enjoy. This whole like, that takes over her mind and like, it was done very well, but like, my God. Hard to read.
Yeah.
So hard to read. And especially hard because Max isn't just, it would have been hard to read no matter what for her, him being her like lover having these feelings for her.
Mm-hmm.
But the layer of his history with Rachet.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
So his history with this awful demon, evil creature.
Mm-hmm.
And the history of T'Shaana now having to have this creature in her and him remembering what it felt like when it was in him. And then also having to like talk to it again. And then also having to like save T'Shaana from it. It's too much. It's too much.
It's too much.
In the best way. But yes. It was a lot.
Well, and it's interesting because this is when like the first time when Rachet takes over her body in the fighting, like the sparring match or whatever.
Mm.
It's like somehow it gets triggered by the word love. I think it starts to understand that it's reading T'Shaana's emotions and how T'Shaana feels for Max.
Mm-hmm.
And T'Shaana says to Rachet, you wish to be loved and I have loved many monsters.
Oh, right.
You know, because Rachet's like, could you love a monster or something like that? And she says, you wish to be loved. I have loved many monsters. Like I can do that. I can find a way. And it like tames it for a second, just enough time for her to like be able to get control. And that's when she has the spider web imagery of like her consciousness.
Right, she's, like, clawing
that's through super
it.
Well done.
That was very well done.
I love the spider web. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that whole theme of like love for Rachet is going to be important through the next book. Like I think of her understanding how to manipulate and like start to control it or overcome it.
Yes. That's when she gets all at her craziest is when it's like, you two love each other, not me. And I'm not a part of it.
It's like a child.
It's truly.
It really
so
is.
Unhinged.
It's unhinged but it's, I find it so fascinating.
Oh God. And what really affects Max seeing Rachet take over T'Shaana. Like it's not her accent anymore. It's not her face. It's not her.
Oh, that was a clever. Mannerisms.
It's not her anything.
Yeah.
And he tells her the next morning or something. He's like, it took over or something yesterday. I just thought you should know. And she was, it's like this thing where he like doesn't want to look at her. Like he doesn't want to like tell her, but he has to tell her.
I know.
And it's like them trying to figure out their dynamic around this was so.
Well, he's so really terrified for her. And she's very much like, I have to make this work. Like we have to do this.
Yeah.
What other option do we have? Yeah.
Yeah. But that he's like, I know firsthand, literally, what this thing is going to do to you. So like he's terrified.
It's so many levels.
But then he has to be with her because he obviously like, it's just, there's just, it's too much.
Too much.
But like in a good way, but like, my God.
Yes.
It's stressful.
So many
so
levels.
So the next thing basically after that is they, part of the pact is that they have to go to Threl, just where her house was that she was a slave in, and free everybody in that house and get Serral back before she will help them in the war that is currently happening in Ara.
Correct. Yeah.
Right.
And Xerath agrees to this because he's like, oh, this will be a perfect little test run. We'll just see what you can do.
Yes.
We'll just see how much chaos you can.
Oh my God.
This will be like a great little way for us to like just like put you in a little, you know, test subject.
Yes.
It's
the worst.
So we go on a boat ride.
Mm-hmm. We do go on a boat ride.
So we go on a boat ride and we.
Max is seasick. It's long.
Max gets seasick. He's not made for it.
Guys, he's not made for it.
He's not made for it, guys. Nope. But that's okay. We love him anyway.
That's right.
There's a couple of interesting conversations or things that happen with Nura.
Uh-huh.
So I want to talk about Nura right now because it's like, I'm very intrigued by her character because I think Carissa writes these morally gray characters so well, as we see with Vincent in Serpent.
Yes.
Okay, she decides to like spar. We don't ever see her and Max really interact one-on-one together very often.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, you know, he even says it's so hard to look at her face because it's unforgivable what she did to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So they start to spar and they're fighting or whatever. And he's rusty because he has been gardening for 8 years and not exactly,
you know,
honing his fighting skills.
Not made for it.
Not made for it.
He's been in the Shire.
He's been in the Shire.
Guys, hobbits don't go on adventures, you know? They live in the Shire.
No, there's no sparring in that garden.
They're fighting and like of course fighting brings out
emotions
and stuff.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So there's a couple interesting things that he notes about her.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that she had loved my family almost as much as I did. She was ruthless, focused to the point of callousness and cruelty, but she was not stupid, perhaps not even selfish, not quite. She wasn't Xerath, driven by ego to the point of recklessness.
Right.
Which is interesting because she's the one that makes a comment later about, Kim, you sent me the quote, I didn't put it in the outline, but You sent the quote, I think, to me about like how men fight for power.
Yeah. So she says, men want power because it makes them feel good. Women want power because it lets us do things.
Oh, God, that's so good.
Which is like so true.
So true.
So well said.
Also, they were going to lock him up for, I don't understand this. Like, why was nobody coming to be like, yeah, he was, Richet had taken over his body.
Yeah.
But they were going to lock him up for like war crimes. And she was the only one who showed up in a wheelchair with burns.
I would say all over her. Burned. I
know. And she was like defended him.
I know.
So again, there's like these little hints of acts of
like humanity.
Humanity in her.
Every time we have a scene with her, it's like even Tasana says it. She's like, I can read people super well. I can see what people want. I can figure out their intentions. She was like, Nura, I could not figure her out at all.
Yeah.
And that, I think you feel that as the reader too.
Yes.
You can't get a read on her.
Can't get a read on her.
Understand.
I feel like
what
every other scene,
on.
I'm like, don't trust her.
Yeah.
How do I? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like that meme where it's like,
yes. Then there's two other things she says as she's like leaving Max alone.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, questioning her, like, why would you do this? What's the point of all this? And she says, I wouldn't do it if it didn't need doing. Trust me, Max. And then she repeats herself and she says it again. Like, I wouldn't do it if it didn't need doing.
Yeah.
And then she says, something big is coming and none of us get to frolic in gardens with pretty Threlian girls until it's over. And then she says, I've never been afraid to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
I've never been afraid to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to me.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
And then.
Which is true.
Never been afraid of it. And then at the end, she says that like really cryptic thing that she is like, you know, and this is like after everything.
This is the very end.
Yeah, at the very end.
Yes.
Very end. And she's like, he's looking at Tasana on the boat, right? She's like being, you know, Kate Winslet at the front of the Titanic. And he's looking at her and she follows his gaze and then looks back at him and says, you know, I do want you to be happy, Max. She said it quietly, almost under her breath. The statement was so jarring, so uncharacteristic that I had no choice but to whip my head around to look at her. I scoffed, what, are you suddenly desperate for forgiveness? You don't have to believe me, her gaze slid to me, serious, but it's the truth. And no matter what happens when we get home, it still will be.
Interesting.
And then it says, there was something about the way she said, no matter what happens when we get home, that made me suddenly uneasy. Homegirl's got some plans.
Yeah. Well, because shit's hitting the fan because Aeris being a little snake. I really do think, she's playing a long game.
Oh, for sure.
I think she knows something or found something out. And maybe, I'm not saying what she did in the prologue. I wonder if what she did in the prologue was before she found out the truth. And that was for love of country.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then it was something when she became the second in command that all of a sudden things changed and she realized.
Well, and she even hints to Tasana about that she doesn't trust Aeris.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's like, oh, well, didn't Xerath knew we were going to be met with, like, they were going to be fight us, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. She tells Nura
so
that.
So why wouldn't he tell us? And Nura's just like, because he plays his own game and, like, isn't shocked. But, like, you know, it's like she
is surprised by the fact that, like, yes, she's surprised, but she's not shocked.
Well, and because, but she says it as in, like, because that's who he is. Like, she is in no way, shape, or form, like, you know, and
his behavior is not, out
surprised.
Of character.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think when Tasana tells her that, like, I think Nura has already figured that out too.
Oh, totally.
Like I think she's like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Like he did know what he was sending us into.
And like, it read to me very much that Nero was like, oh good, you're catching on. That's true. I can't confirm it to you, but like good thing that you're thinking this way.
I don't know, but
I wink a wink a wink. Okay. So okay. Back to plot. Where are we?
Okay. So
Richet is the worst.
Yes, Richet is the worst. So really quickly before, because Richet is about to be a big part of the end of this book.
Yes.
So we already touched upon Richet, but we don't need to keep harping on it because I feel like we really don't know much about it.
Right.
But I do think it's interesting that as there's all these little tidbits that get thrown at us, like in varying, like broken pieces in her mind of like, all of a sudden she tries to like talk. She needs Richet, right? When they're in Threl. And so she's trying to like stir him and wake it up. And she like disrupts it. And it's like in the middle of having a nightmare or something.
Oh, I don't remember that.
She feels like she walked into a nightmare, I think is what she says.
Okay.
And this description is used quite a bit where there's like a wall of white and bright unforgiving light, a flash of golden hair, a bite of fingernails into flesh, and above all, terror.
Yeah.
And that description is used like the white walls, the golden hair. And then later it even says something about wings feathered wings.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Oh, I miss that.
At some point, it talks about feathered wings, and I thought, like, angel. But I don't think it was an angel. I don't.
Interesting. Listen, who knows?
But, you know, and she's, Tasana, like, starts to soothe, like, you're safe, you're all right, like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And it, like, responds to that. And it's also, like, very responsive when she says, the people I thought, like, loved me hurt me. Mm, and it's right. very, like, interested in that concept.
Because it thinks that everyone leaves it.
Yes.
And it's like, yes. why does everyone leave me?
It has severe abandonment issues.
It needs some serious therapy.
To the point of not...
Yes.
Because that's the big, it's big thing.
Yes.
Is that Max left it.
Yep. And everybody leaves me.
Even though.
Yes.
You made him kill his whole family. But fine.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
But okay.
If that's not reason to leave you, don't know what is.
I mean,
but,
logic and reality has no place with this thing.
No, there's absolutely, it's out the window.
It's unhinged.
Right. But then like it left it. Which, why did it make him do that? It was like punishing him for something. For what though?
He got mad at him, right? It got mad at him.
It got mad because he tried to lock him up again. Max was trying to lock it up. So when she went into her mind, I think it broke the barrier that he had created, like the little corner of his brain that Riche was in. So when Nura broke into his mind, he couldn't build it back up. Yeah. And so it was 2 days later after the battle that he went to his family's house and it was very much alive in his brain. And that's when his sister comes in and she's like, look at my butterfly. And
yeah.
And I think it started to talk to Max and was like, you love them
more than me.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
So I'll take everything from you and then you'll only have me.
Right.
And that's when Max said, no, bitch, bye.
So fucked up. This whole
and then
thing.
That's when sweet, Sam Rowan, which we haven't really talked about, he's the best, but
oh, he's so great, you guys.
That's when he is like, I think about all the time
why?
How like if I would have gotten yeah. there a day earlier, because why they were partners in battle and now best friends and like brothers is because he would put him down even when he was going into a fit.
He can manipulate body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he can shut him down and then Riche would like not yes. be able to like
he would literally like
function, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, yes. One last thing, just like an Easter egg, possibly.
Uh-oh.
Is a quote that when Riche is talking to Tasana. Mm. It says, yours feels familiar. You smell like a touch I knew once long ago, or maybe a story that I have since forgotten. Which makes me, I don't know if this is going to be like a, I don't think it's a reincarnation stories are so hard to do. I don't think it's a reincarnation story, but I do wonder if there's something more to, I think there's more to her.
Let's remember this. And then like, I have a theory about this that might be connected to the last battle that I have some issues with, but that I think
okay.
is interesting.
Interesting.
Okay, so let's bring it up then. Okay, got it.
Put a pin in it.
So yeah, they show up in Thrall, and it's great because she gets to kill this one of the slavers that took her when she
yes.
was a child.
Yes, she basically massacres like a ton of. She goes, well, Riche goes full Monty and like goes apeshit and kills yep. a bunch of people. And they save like 150 people and children and women
like
and
kids
men.
And
I know. It was awful.
Guys.
And it's real crazy.
It's
like,
really crazy. Oh, the other thing we learn that's really big is her gift is like rot.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how Riche's manifesting the magic is
like that. That's
it
gross.
Is disgusting. It's like I'm just picturing a bunch of zombies.
It's really crazy to read too. Like as she touches you, you like slowly rot and it's really disgusting.
I made me really uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was freaking me out. I just kept picturing like Indiana Jones at the end of Raiders of the Lost yeah. Ark. That's all
well,
I kept picturing.
It was really rough.
The battle, there's rot on the ground.
Like following. Like,
yeah, I was like, are we walking on this?
Oh, it was a lot. And then like.
Guys, where are the wipes?
Clorox wipes anybody.
Also, okay, the end battle. This was driving me crazy. Every time she would touch.
Max, but then it was like an illusion.
Oh, the Max, like, wouldn't he just be dead?
Yeah.
Are we just carving him up? Like all the rot?
Because no, then he just goes away.
Only one time we
I don't understand
it,
that.
And then it was like, well, that's fine. And we still live. Yeah,
yeah.
Like that one time that Samarin was.
Because Samarin was like, I have to dig this out
mm-hmm.
like when
right.
the big burn. So all the times that when they're battling and he's like holding her face like Tasana come back, his palms are rotting. It's like
yeah,
so I don't understand, like are we, does it,
she was able to like reverse all that by like mastering Riche. It says like
at
everything
end.
Disappeared and they were just them again. So like his fire
oh.
and her like rot, it all just
oh
like,
that's heavenly away. Fire got it
yeah
okay
it was heavenly fire
okay
yeah.
got it
100%
I missed that line, thank you
yep, yep. there you go, because
it was driving me crazy.
Heavenly fire
yeah
okay so after this, I keep wanting to say Slaver's Bay. like from Assassin's Blade.
Slaver's Bay.
Yeah.
After Slaver's Bay battle, we have really sweet moments with Max and
you guys.
Tisana.
I love this.
That made me swoon.
I love them.
It was so sweet.
I love them.
I love them so much. They're like in the tent and he's checking on her and he's like holding her kind of. And, you know, they're getting very close and cute. And like, I think their heads are tilting and touching.
Oh, yeah.
And Tisana, like in her inner monologue, she goes, "In that moment, a truth solidified in my heart, my soul, my blood, a piece of me that wanted nothing more than to seize this chance because I wanted him. I wanted him in so many ways, as a friend, as a kindred soul, as a fierce teammate, as skin and lips and teeth, as a hitched breathless moan in the darkness or a lazy embrace in the sunrise. I wanted that. I wanted it all."
Yeah, that's so sweet.
So tender.
That is a perfect quote.
Yes.
And I felt that I felt like that was so real because that's how I feel about my husband. Like, yes. He's my teammate. He's my friend.
Like, yes. He's everything.
He's everything.
Yeah.
And I just loved how she described that. Again, like, their relationship just feels so real and like natural to me. Like, their progression has felt really natural.
That's a great way to put it.
Built like layer by layer. I love it. It's not insta love.
No.
Which has its place.
It does.
Not here.
But this built really, really nicely.
Agreed.
And then she kisses him.
Oh, this didn't build so nicely. Yes. No. Mm-mm.
Then he says, stops the kiss, and he says, "This isn't what I want."
Yeah.
And I can't tell you the anger that I felt.
I had a hard time with this. I was like, what? Carissa, what? Why? Why? Why'd you do it? Why'd you do it? Why'd you do this to us?
Why did we phrase it that way?
This isn't what
Why
I want.
Why did we phrase it that way?
I will say I'm happy that it got resolved almost immediately.
It did.
I was like, if this is going to
be
we have to go chapters with her thinking he doesn't want to kiss her, I will lose it.
Oh yeah, my God, poor Kim last night, she was, you know, finished it before us. Uh-huh. And I was, Christine, I knew you were behind me, so I texted Kim privately, and it's like past, Kim's asleep probably.
I was asleep.
And I was like, had this, oh my God, it's so sweet, this line, oh my God, they're kissing. And then it's like, this isn't what I want. I screamed. I did like the Michael Scott, no. Like,
no! Yeah.
No!
And then
God,
I was like,
please,
and then like
no!
Literally the next 2 pages later, I go, crisis averted. It's fine.
Yeah.
Literally like a page and a half later, it's like, okay, we're good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're good. I was just like, you guys, we have phrased that slightly differently.
Well, thanks for the heart attack, Carissa, but we moved on.
Yeah. But they resolved it and they figured it out. And he was like, is this what you want? And she was like, yeah, you know, whatever. Do you want to wait or whatever? Because he was like, I don't want it like this. Like, because he was like, people always just like use you.
He's concerned.
Oh,
yeah.
He's so sweet about when he says it. He's like, I'm not going to be that person. I'm not going to do that to you. I never expected this from you, Tisana. Almost every single person in your life has used you, and I'm not. This isn't. It's so good.
Oh my God, that line.
He goes, but if this, like, this isn't what I want, in quotes, but if this was her friendship, her companionship, her trust, her happiness, her safety, those things were more to me than anything else ever would be. Downright precious.
Oh, downright precious.
Yes, you are downright precious, Max. You're a precious, precious gem. That's
downright
what you are.
Precious.
And they like start kissing, and he's like so in awe of her, and he's like,
oh,
to call
God.
Her beautiful
point,
would be an understatement, a
yes.
Downright insulting.
I loved. She really made us wait for it, but I was so happy for them. I was
agreed.
Really thrilled.
So loved it,
and it was sweet.
I love when she goes. She points, and she's like, "Should we go to the tent?" And he's like, "Hell, who was I to question?"
That's right. Don't question it, Max.
Who was I to question?
Get on up.
It was really great. It was sweet. It was nice. Like, it was everything
It was everything. I loved, like, okay, so they, like, did round one, and they were, like, cuddling, and he was, like, so on the one, I was in a predicament. On the one hand, I had this beautiful woman laying on me, you know, and it'd be so easy to just fall asleep, but on the other hand, I had this beautiful woman laying on me, and the last line, like, before it goes to the next chapter is, like, I was tired, but I had work to do. And I was, like, Max! Work to do!
I had work
sir!
Stop it.
I love it so
going.
Much.
Don't it. Like, I was like, but okay, Max, like, I see you.
I loved that.
It was so good.
I love that
it
so
was
much.
Beautifully done. No notes.
Yeah, it's no notes. Perfect. And then they have like the walk of shame.
Oh he
Max does.
Walks
yeah.
out
I love
the next
this so much.
And Samrin
it's
is just
so funny.
Sitting there, just sitting in his
sitting
chair,
there.
Smoking his pipe, looking at him. He's like, hey, what's up? He like walks right past him. And he's like, so what is this?
No, Max? He says, you smell like debauchery.
Yeah,
debauchery.
You smell like debauchery. So good. Yeah. And then he's just like, what is this, Max? And he's like, attention. Like, yes, this non-soundproof structure that you, yes.
Yes. He's a shelter constructed of fabric. Fabric is a material not known for its sound dampening qualities. You're lucky that I'm the only one close enough to hear. And then Max is like, firstly, I'm a gentleman. And therefore, again, I have no idea what you're talking about. But secondly, if I did, theoretically, I'd find it highly, highly suspect that you listened to that. And he goes, be assured that I tried very hard not to.
I love them. I love their friendship. I want to see more of it.
They're adorable and brothers, and I want more of him in book two.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we do go to the estate in Thrall.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Xerath has, like, set up for them to go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
So Xerath leaves.
Oh.
Like, this fucktwad.
I knew the second he walked away, I was like,
it was not gonna, it was bad.
Not gonna be good. Why are you leaving? Where are you going? Because
he knew bad things were going
to
happen.
So let's just summarize this really fast because we want to get to the main battle. So basically, they have a game plan and Tisana is going to be like a distraction.
You know what this reminds me of?
What?
Is, well, one, in Throne of Glass.
What?
With Tell the dancers.
Kim, I can't take you seriously. I'm laughing
I'm
at you.
I'm getting distracted by this rump all over me. So maybe I just put it
what
on my
What are you
my
talking
head.
About? What are you saying?
What's distracting about this, Anna?
Are you distracted?
Okay. Did it not give you guys Throne of Glass vibes, but also Six of Crows vibes?
Yes.
Totally.
Yes.
With the heist.
All of it.
Dancers.
All of it.
Woo!
The dancers. Okay. Tisana is going to be a distraction. She's wearing a red dress. Again, revenge dress. But she shows up and they drink wine immediately. I highlighted and I was like, why the fuck are you drinking wine?
Oh, I didn't even
this
clock
is
it.
Not going to be good.
I go right over my head.
Yep, didn't even clock it. Nope.
Well, we made such a big deal of she's smashing the wine glass. And I was like, okay, well, this is important.
Like, she's being
dramatic. Why are we smashing wine
Me
glasses?
Too. I was like, wow, what a power move. Smash that wine glass. Wow.
So she starts dancing and she's like, do you remember me? And he's like, no,
like,
I don't.
Nope.
And she's like, what about now with her magic butterflies? Meanwhile, she's the distraction and Nura Samarin and the Sirizen and, oh my God, Max, thank you, goes out and the Sirizen are winnowing basically all the slaves away.
Yeah.
To safety.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden headaches start happening and all of a sudden she can't feel anyone's
she's
emotions.
Like,
she's like, oh my God,
drunk
I've been drugged.
That one glass of wine.
Yeah.
I was like,
yes.
Were you drunk from the
one glass
of wine? I was
like, girlfriend, you're not drunk.
Oh God.
Because she can't sense anyone's thoughts or feelings either. And she's like, that's weird.
No,
she's
she can't sense
going.
Anyone's thoughts, feelings. Mm-hmm. So then he realizes who she is and that she killed his father.
She admits it. She's like,
She admits it. She's like, I killed your father.
And then is thinking she's going to use her magic and then the magic is not there.
Magic is gone.
Also, we should note that Rishay is hiding within her in the corner and refusing to help because she saw memories and flashes of her and Max hooking up the night before and that made her so angry that she then has retreated in her corner and has refused to help.
No, she's muted by the poison.
Well, that too, but she's also very mad at her.
Well,
because
Tisana is able to, like, access her.
But that's because through fear. Yeah, but I took that as she was, because she's reaching for Rishay and Rishay's trying to talk to her, but it sounds distant.
Oh, okay.
And then it was when she starts getting whipped that it was a fear induced.
I think she was mad. I think she was mad at Tisana because she's pissed that they hooked up, which is, like, super weird because, I mean, it's not weird. It actually tracks.
I thought she was, like, punishing her. Yeah. Keep going. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I took it. Yeah. Anyways, but so Ajin takes her to, like, the room where she actually killed Ismaris, and Nura Samarin and everybody else gets kidnapped or whatever, locked up in a room. And he's like, I'm going to finish what my father couldn't finish. And we have another whipping situation.
So bad.
And she uses, like, the fear to, like, access Rishay. And then Rishay takes over her body again in a big way. And this is when we have the big battle and we learn about Max.
Who is a fire serpent, guys? How fun!
Yeah. His little gifty gift.
Yeah, everybody's like been kidnapped. He wakes up in like a library and he's got his wrists bound. And then they all like, you know, try to get their wrists unbound, whatever. And then he goes in, he's like, everyone else get out. I thought Samarin was going to die for a second there because he was really great.
I did too.
He's not doing well.
Yeah, I was nervous.
I was like, no. They have a sweet like goodbye brother moment, but it's fine.
And then
he runs off. He's like, I got to save Tisana. Because they, at some point in this, open the door and the whole house is on fire. So he's like, well, that's Tisana. And Rishay.
It's like blue flame.
Gotta go. You guys get out. Sit to safety. And then he runs into like the ballroom where people still are for some reason.
Yeah, no one's left.
And he sees like, you know, her just.
None of these people are leaving, which fine. Yeah, good riddance
fine.
To you.
And then he sees like Rishay and all her Rishay glory just being a crazy lunatic.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, guess I better use that thing that I've never talked about or thought about or hinted at. I gotta click my second eyelid down and become a serpent made of flame.
Obviously.
But like the way
the
he was like
made of flame.
His second eyelids clicked into place and his body unraveled into flame. I was like, what?
I honestly, it wasn't until she's looking at his eyes later and she sees it. I thought honestly it was more of like a third eye in his brain is how I took it.
I was like, he is a reptile.
That's what I
thought.
What
is this? What is happening?
But he really does have, he does have a
exactly. Maybe I was like, Max has lots of powers.
I think he can turn it, like, I mean, clearly he's not walking around looking like that because I think people would have noticed.
No, he clicks them into place. Yeah.
Yeah, he clicks them in, but he doesn't, they're not always like down.
No, right.
No.
Yeah.
He is a fire serpent.
I was like, that's why I text you guys, like, I'm sorry, he clicked his second eyelids into place?
Yeah.
Is he a reptile? Are we an alien? What's happening?
Yes. All of that.
He's a reptile.
He's all of that.
So he is. He is a serpent.
This is what Riche left behind whenever Riche was forced
parting
to leave
gift.
His body.
Parting gift.
Riche was pissed and was like, well, here you go. You're a fire serpent. And he was like, I don't want it. And it was like, too bad. Gotta take it.
Too bad. He literally died. And Riche was like, no, Sean, pulled you back.
Because he was like happy to die. And she was like, you can't be happy in any realm. Let me make you give you this fire because you hate fire. And I'm going to make it a serpent because the snake. And it's just all.
Because of Kira, I'm sure.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I feel like it was like on purpose.
Oh, totally.
So I kind of made the choice in my brain that Max chose to manifest it as a serpent because
maybe.
It reminded him of his sister.
Okay, let's say that.
But I feel like it's probably Riche, but I'm going to choose to believe that Max
did
that.
Let's do that.
So also I want to note in this moment, so Tisana's still like kind of going in and out of I'm in control, I'm not at this moment. Or like she can see at least. She's not like so sunk in the cobwebs. And
she's battling.
And the fire snake comes up to her.
Yes.
And in this flame of fire in a snake head, okay? It's a snake head and this flame of fire. She sees the eyeballs of the fire snake somehow that are of like solely black and in literally a snake head of fire and is like, well, that's Max. What?
I recognize those beautiful eyes.
Even
anywhere.
Though they look completely different because they're a second eyelid and they're a different color, but man, how do you turn into a serpent? Like, what?
What the heck? Why didn't she tell me about this?
Maxie, you didn't share this. How fun. So yeah, but it's great. Yeah.
Doesn't she say that like then he like morphs into some like fiery man body?
Yeah, so he's the serpent and then at some point he's like a shadowy fiery man form.
Yeah.
I was like, what is happening?
It's a lot.
Yeah, this was like at 11:30 at night and I was just like,
it's a lot.
I'm writing with it. I don't understand what the fuck is going on here, but like, I'm flipping pages.
I feel like a lot of these, I mean, I do. I really feel like in a lot of fantasy books, these like big final battles, there's a lot of things that happen that I go,
wheels kind of fall. Like, I'm like, what are we doing?
It happens frequently, I feel like, in these like battle scenes with this like little stuff. So I liked the dream scene. I thought it was really cool. Mm. So she realizes that she can't, the spider web isn't working, that it's like those spider webs are all like rotting basically, is how I took it.
They're like tangled, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like tangled and yes, a big knot or something, thank you. She realizes that like she basically can't fight it, that the way to like conquer it is to like embrace the darkness. And so she goes and she like, the next time that she saw an opening, she basically just embraced everything. Yeah. And then it kind of brought her to this, like, to me, I pictured like Harry Potter on the...
I pictured just like an empty plane.
Empty plane. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It felt like the Dumbledore Harry Potter scene at the end of Deathly Hallows.
Station. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. The train station. Yep, exactly. So she embraces it, I guess. And she ends up in this like dream sequence. And like, we have the memory of her like remembering what Nura said, that it's a form of raw magic. And she was like, magic is meant to be wielded. And she's like, I'm going to conquer this. Yep. And I feel like how I took it was when she sees like the beating heart, that's Riche.
Right.
And it's like an amalgamation of like all these different pieces of hearts. I took that as like all the pieces, all the hosts.
Yep.
Or whatever. And she says, it says...
or even like all the lives that Riche has lived, like even maybe before it was like...
Riche. As we know
like
it.
Like whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And she says, I felt the agony of it, not only my own pain, but Riche's too. The agony of being so many different pieces stitched together, shattered remnants of half-lost memories, grief over faceless deaths and nameless betrayals, white walls, golden hairs, bright eyes, and champagne feathers. That was the feather quote.
Oh, that was the feather,
A forgotten name screamed over and over and over until it was swallowed by stone, weeping. And then Riche's like whispering, stop, stop, please stop. And then she was like, "That I realized it wasn't just one core, but a piece of many." And that's when she kind of like embraces it. And then Brishe quiets and
ate it.
Oh, I took it as she like pulls it into herself.
Okay, that's better.
Like she swallows the power into her body.
And I was like, are we eating parts again?
And then Brishe says, it was never meant to be this way. Take it. Please take all of it. Take it away. And then she does it. And then Brishe says, someone calls for you. And I think she meant Max, because Max was kissing her to wake her up.
I took it to mean that Brishe died.
I took it to mean that she absorbed the power fully. Like she embraced all of the darkness and everything. Because I didn't think Brishe could die that soon.
I feel like it's gonna be, and it was book one, but I felt like the way it was written was a little like, it was a little abstract. Like I felt like there was a lot going on.
It's definitely abstract. It's very abstract.
So what I was trying to say, I definitely thought she ate the heart. I feel like she's like, I ate it. I thought she ate it. And I also really thought she killed Brishe here too. I was really confused about a lot of things. I felt like the visual of the like cloud of red above her, then all of a sudden having eyeballs and like that being Brishe was weird to me.
That is weird.
It doesn't matter. But yeah, so it was just all weird. And I definitely thought she killed Brishe. And I thought that, so in my head, the way it happened was she's fighting. So Brishe is a cloud above her, which again, weird, but fine.
Yeah.
And then Brishe realizes it's her because she is like in this weird plane she shouldn't be in. So Brishe sees her and is like, hey, what are you doing here? I hate you. I'm going to fight you. So she comes down from her cloud and she's fighting her. And then
that's when she tries to take like a weird form, right? Brishe tries to like,
yeah, like a, she morphed into something almost resembling a grotesque variation of a human, like with long spindly limbs.
Ew.
So then, and then she pulled back and she had Asmaris's face, and then that's when she like loses it and she's like, no more, like, am I dividing myself up for powerful monsters and all these things? And that's when she's like, I'm gonna wield Brishe, like I'm gonna wield
yeah
him. Okay,
so all that's like fine. And then she glances up while she's fighting with Brishe, weird spindly Brishe, she glances up through all the rushing magic, which like I'm confused visually there. Fine,
what is the rushing magic?
Because there's beams of light coming out of her of the magic, and that's what Brishe was up in here. Also, there's a beam of purple light that's Max, which was confusing, but like whatever. So then she's like looks up through the thing and sees the faintest outline of a figure standing with me. So this is different than the Brishe she's fighting. So then I was like, is this a different person or is this Brishe in different whatever? So then that blurry shadow of a shadow is like, so many stories, you and I, and it was never meant to be this way. Take it, please take all of it, take it away. So that being's doing this. So in my head, I was like, is this the person, is this like Brishe and Brishe, like both? Or is this someone who started this all and was like, it was never meant to be this way? Because in my head, I thought she killed Brishe.
Oh, that's interesting.
I didn't even think about that. It could be somebody who was like the original mastermind.
The way it's written, it's like she's fighting Brishe and there's a different person that she sees.
Right.
But anyways, her saying she took the heart and swallowed it, which I really thought she ate it. And I was like, could we have,
Yeah, I didn't think she ate it. I thought it was like a visualization, because then it says she inhaled the power. So I just took it as like a...
Totally. But then before that, the fact that she is saying that it was never meant to be this way, please take it, in my head was like, oh, kill me. I don't want that.
That's
like,
what I thought
like,
too.
Like, make it stop. Like, take it away. That's like, I don't want this. And that's when I was like, oh, she killed her. Now, that being said, it probably should have been a clue to me that like Asmaris and his son and all of them, if she was going to kill her, she would just like smashed her heart like a grape, not eaten it.
Inhaled it, right.
Squeezed
but
it.
But fine.
Like a skinless grape.
Ugh. This was also something that really took me out, which again, it's not that big of a deal. But it really was confusing to me that then, okay, this is all happening. She's got like the shadowy person telling her to take it away.
Yep.
Then she's fighting the spindly armed Brishe. And then she looks up through a thunderclap to see two silhouetted figures engulfed in blue and red kissing. So that's her and Max, but like, are they in the clouds? Like, she looks up to see this image. And I was just like,
it's very abstract.
Totally.
It's very abstract.
Totally.
I do think it was a little...
I didn't hate it. I just, it took me out for a second.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Have thoughts about it. I did find it a little bit, and I didn't know if it was because it was 11:30 at night and I was kind of like, okay, I don't really know what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
But looking back on it, like this morning when I woke up, I was like, I don't really understand like what all went down there. And it was a little like, I don't know. It was a little odd for me, like the way that it
and just, like, it's fine. It just kind of felt like out of nowhere. Like, we haven't really had abstract things in the book thus far.
Yeah, like everything was been pretty grounded.
Yeah, it just felt like it was like, I mean, beside the hummingbird, this felt like the the only other weird thing,
which we thought was a real hummingbird.
So I guess I should have been prepared.
Yeah. Hummingbird leads to spindly Brishe.
Spindly and like seeing each other in the clouds.
Yeah.
And then she put her hand up and was like risen back to her body. So as she was.
Father?
Father?
Yeah. So anyways, I loved the big epic battles. I think there were so many beautiful moments. I personally was taken out a little bit by the abstractness.
Agreed.
I think I glossed over the weird, like, spindly. Like, I was like, I don't...
Oh, the spindly doesn't really bother me. Yeah.
Well, I just mean, like, the like that stuff, like, the cloud, all of that, it didn't bother me. I just kind of was like, okay, we're in this, like, Richey's dreamscape because it's not an entity of this world. So, like, I just was like, whatever, it's abstract.
Right. Yeah.
But I liked the visualization of, like, inhaling and absorbing the magic. I actually thought that, I think I texted Kim and I was like, I really like the way that was written. Because to me, I thought it was visually clear to me that she was like inhaling the magic and that she was going, like she was finding a way to embrace the darkness of Richey and then hopefully be able to wield it and control it.
Got it.
Was the way I took it.
Right. That's, yeah, I probably should have taken it that way.
No, we could take things different ways.
But no, I'm just saying, I mean, because that was correct, because Richey did not die.
Well, it might not be. She might.
I also thought she ate the heart. I was like, why are we eating things?
But also I was like, well, Richey's dead. Then we went to the next scene and she was like,
I thought that too.
Haven't heard from Richey. That's weird. I was like, why would you have heard from her? She's
why
dead.
Why would you have heard from her? You ate her heart and
she, you ate dead. It.
I totally read it that way
you,
too.
You ate her heart like a snack. Why would she be alive? Yeah.
Like you ate the horse on the way here.
Yeah.
Listen, homegirl has no qualms about what she digests. No. She's got a strong digestive system.
It's a little weird, but I loved that, like, the kiss.
But then she comes back and she's kissing Max and it's real cute.
It was very sweet.
And he's like shocked that she's back.
But he's rotting.
Nope, oh, is he?
He's not rotting.
It's fixed.
I know, not anymore, but it freaks me out.
Oh, it's awful.
That really freaks me out. I just keep picturing zombies.
Oh, it's gross, but then it completely, literally just disappears.
Yeah, it's gone.
Heavenly fire.
I don't know if they ever actually kiss while he's rotted, because before this, when they're kissing, he's a fired man. So,
but
like, you know, and then before that, they're just having sexy time. So
he's a fired man.
He's a fire serpent man.
What does she say later? When did
I think
you become?
She calls him like a mountain.
What is she called? A fire serpent man?
Yeah, it's so funny.
Oh, shit. Oh, God.
It's really funny.
Because I was like, yes, Tisana. That is alarming.
That is
something you should have shared.
Did you?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but this kiss is really sweet. And he's, like, shocked that she's back and okay. Because, like, yes, that is shocking. Because he was, like, about to have to kill her. He was like, please don't make me kill you.
Oh,
but he was about to.
Yeah.
Because he promised her, right?
Yeah.
He promised her that, like, if she failed, he would not fail.
Yeah. But then she does.
But they win.
Come back and they kiss and it's lovely.
And everything's okay.
Because it's book one.
It's
and we're not going to lose our fear.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's for book three.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I don't know.
Maybe in the book two.
I don't know.
God, I hope not.
No, I'm kidding. I don't think so. I have no idea.
No. I'm just saying, I hope. Not.
If she, no, I mean, there's no way she died.
If that's the case, nobody DM us.
No, we only read Happily Ever After.
That's right.
There's no way. I mean, we know she's not going to die. She's on all three covers, so.
That's right. That's true.
Okay, so they kiss. It's great. Then they're happy. And what, but really, like, how, we, like, wrap everybody up, kind of, but I don't remember.
They, like, pass out, basically.
Oh, Cyril! She passes out! And then she wakes up.
Oh!
And she says, Cyril! Cyril's
there, and they, like, have a little, like, sleepover.
She doesn't
want to
look at him, and he's like, look at me.
Because
she's like, oh, their reunion.
It's so good.
I texted Christina and Anna this. 100% forgot he was gay and was, like, so nervous that they were going to try to do this, like, love triangle thing.
Nope.
Oh, no.
And then I was like, no, you're dumb, and you forgot, and it's wrong. But I was like, oh, God, okay. No, this is fine. Everything's fine. And they, like, stayed up all night talking, and, like, she was
it's
so,
sweet.
Like...
And, like, he's, like, crying
guilt.
And smiling, and, like, oh, yes. God, so sweet.
She, like,
I love them. I love her having a friend. Like, I missed, like, a friendship dynamic, and so I'm really excited to have Cyril in the next book.
You're right. I did miss that.
And I love that she's like, you don't have to come with me to Aura, and he's like, where else am I going to go?
Are you kidding me? You can't get rid of me now. Like, what?
Road trip.
Yeah.
Get the tunes going, girl. Let's do this.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a great
Spotify
playlist.
He's going to love the Hobbit hole. Oh, my God.
He's going to love it so much. And, like, they're going to be friends with, like, Moth and Samrin.
Yes.
Like,
oh my God.
Maybe Samrin can be bi and they could be together.
I would love that.
I'm going to ship
Care
that
for
now.
It. Let's ship it now. Let's say it. That's our theory, guys.
Ship it.
That's our theory. Samrin's going to be bi.
Yeah, you want to know our theory? Yeah, that's our theory.
That's our theory is that they're going to end game Samrin and Cyril.
End game.
Cyril. We're calling it now.
Yep, that's my big theory. End game.
Samrin.
Oh.
Hashtag Samrin.
We're shipping Samrin.
It's like a salmon. Like a breed of salmon.
Well, he's a serpent, so, like, salmon could be, you know. So like Nura and Tassana have that conversation where Tassana's like, hey, like Xerath knew that Azeen was probably going to attack us.
He set us up.
And Nura's like, wink, yeah, interesting, you noted that.
Sure did.
Basically like, yeah, whatever. And then I guess she tries to like feel for Rache, and Rache is like, our story is not complete, daughter of all worlds, which is
interesting. I love that.
Interesting.
Tassana says, good, I haven't decided how I want it to end.
I love that.
Too, I love that.
She's taking control of her life and like she's deciding
her own story. Yes.
Way it goes. After so long of like other people deciding her story and like where she goes, I was like, yes, girl.
I loved that.
Love it.
Oh, it's really, really good.
Oh, man.
Anna, what's the final quote that has
The final quote. Guys, this is an Aelin Galathinius quote if I've ever fucking heard one.
If we've ever read one.
I love it.
The final quote of the book is so good.
Okay.
My name is Tassana. I am a free woman and yet still a slave. I am fragments of many things, but a whole of only myself. I am a daughter of no worlds and all worlds, and I am not done yet. Oh my
God. Damn it, I love that so much.
That is not a throne of glass. I love it.
I love it.
Oh,
I love it.
Oh. Oh, guys, then we have like the mindfuckery of the epilogue with Xerath. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. I fucking hate
him. So we knew we hated snake. Him. But this is really...
Guys, she's 12 years old.
She's
He wants to murder a 12-year-old, just so we're clear.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. So Tear, I thought, was on her side at first, but then I quickly realized, no... He's not.
Nope.
And so, okay, so I think the big takeaway from the epilogue is that Xerath has conquering aspirations.
Yeah, so pretty much he is specifically taking out lords who are against the order and replacing them with people, pretty much buying off and replacing whoever replaces them for people who are aligned with him.
Right, which we saw in the Capitol when he killed that quote-unquote traitor.
Yeah, and then, so he's pretty much specifically trying to take out and replace all the lords with anyone who she says Aura was divided by a deeply unpopular ruler, all while the ruling lords were slowly one by one replaced by order allies.
Yeah,
that's his plan.
And he also is very specific about Nura not being there, because Tara is like, oh, shouldn't we wait for Nura?
Yeah,
and he's like, no,
he doesn't want her to be there.
And the final thing that he writes is by the time he writes her a letter to Nura, he says, by the time you read this, Cessary the queen will be dead.
That the way to end the book on that, I was like,
What the fuck?
I was like, what?
What the fuck am I reading? Like, she's 12.
Pardon
me? You're going to murder a 12-year-old queen?
Yeah. Also, something else I took from this epilogue is just another morally gray, maybe I don't like you, Nura moment. So he says, the night of the ball, Nura had returned to the tower and calmly stated that they had their precaution, Tassana. This is Nura speaking.
Okay.
If you have her, she had said, then you have him.
Oh.
It's just how he works, and we'll have a grip on her that's ironclad. I read that as, if we hurt him, she'll do whatever we want.
Right. That's how I read it too.
Yes.
Nura, you are gonna...
They're what's it called? When you get two for one.
Like a
two
pair. For one special. They're a team. They come together. Yeah.
Like a pair. Yes. And if you, we can manipulate one by threatening the other.
Yeah. I didn't like that she said that. Yeah. I don't know what her...
But it's just like, Nura, like, come on.
I didn't like that either. The only thing I'm hoping...
Like we've said, I think, Anna, you said this, like, there has to be a reason, right? Like, she has to...
I think she's playing a long game. I think she, because he was very threatened by Max. And I think if Xerath had his druthers, he would off Max.
Didn't she say on the ship, he's either threatened by you or, like, didn't Nura tell, like, to some...
Yes, there's a line about, like
Xerath is either threatened by you or he thinks he can control you.
Yes, he can't control Max.
Yeah. But so he's threatened by Max and Tassana, I think. And Tassana's like,
I think he's threatened by Max. Yes.
She thinks that's crazy that Xerath would be threatened by her. And Nura's like, no, he absolutely is.
Yeah.
He is.
And he hates him.
And I think the difference between Max and Tassana is Tassana knows how to play the game and make herself, make him maybe feel powerful over her.
Yeah.
And Max couldn't do that. Max didn't know how to play that game.
Right.
So I'm hoping that that conversation with Nura, I think it's supposed to be another little like red herring to make us, I'm hoping, because I think it'd be way more interesting if there's a big twist.
I hope so too. I'm really hoping that
I mean, or she could be morally gray and just, maybe it's not all aligned. I don't know. We'll
she's like doing something, like working behind the scenes.
Like, I feel like she has to be
against Xerath because he fucking sucks, you guys. I hate him.
I don't think she likes Xerath.
And we did get that moment with Tisana of her being like, yeah, he is bad, right? Like that moment, right. I think
true.
Was telling.
True.
And even in this epilogue, he's talking about how he has both of them as weapons. Like he has this Max and Tisana at his disposal. Yeah. And he finally had a real, you know, foothold. And like Max was turning out to be a good investment. All the pieces were lining up perfectly. Like I think they're playing two different games. Like I don't think they're actually aligned. I think they're fake aligned, like to each other.
I agree.
Lying, but I think they're doing two totally different things.
Yes, I agree.
And I'm hoping that, so like a lot of people have messaged us saying that the twist in book two is like one of their favorite twists they've ever read in any book. And I'm hoping it has something to do with Nira. Like I'm hoping that it's, I don't know, like some kind of,
I hope it's not like a Max and Tisana.
No, God, I hope not. No, they said like, a good thing.
Oh,
like,
God,
they really liked the twist.
Okay.
They're like, it's my favorite.
Which makes me think it's going to be a character that.
I know.
Yeah.
Like maybe her mom. No. Her mom could be alive.
Interesting.
Okay, I'm telling you. Okay, the other thing I kept thinking maybe her mom is alive. And then I know this is not going to happen, guys, but I cannot tell you how much I want it to be true that maybe Kira didn't die.
I know, you guys. That was...
I would love that.
I want it to be true because she'd be like, she would be the same age as Tisana.
Where would she have been, though?
Oh, that's a little weird.
Yeah.
In the dreamscape, maybe.
Oh, living with the clouds.
In the dreamscape with Rashe.
On the plane. Oh, how fun for her.
Champagne feathers.
Okay. The dream sequence with Kira, like when Max
doesn't
want to wake up. Okay, I know.
It.
But I'll flip it lightheartedly for you. This for some reason reminded me of the ending of Hocus Pocus. Whenever the cat
shows
up, the mother and the sister, and she's like, Thackeray Binks, what took you so long? And he's like, I'm sorry. I had to battle these witches or whatever.
For thousands of years. I had to wait thousands of years for a virgin to light a candle.
Something about this scene, not when I was reading it, I was like, this is horrific. But just like reading, when we were going over things, I was like, yeah, this is giving me Hocus Pocus vibes. Thackeray Binks.
That's so funny. I didn't think about
Thank
that.
Thank you for that mindset, because I was like utterly shattered.
Thank you for that, because that was,
there you
it
go.
Was so emotional.
There's a light to every dark.
Here we go. Thank
that's
you for giving
light
I was utterly shattered by that, but now I feel happy thinking about Hocus Pocus ending. So
now it's Hocus Pocus.
Thanks. Thanks for that.
Okay, guys. So
wow,
that's it.
What a journey.
That's it.
We loved it.
That's all she wrote.
I loved it. I can't wait to start book two.
I really enjoyed
it. We are 100% going to be reading book two.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we want to take the opportunity to announce that this will be our last episode before we go on a little summer break.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We have not taken a break yet, really, in our podcast, uploading-wise. And quite frankly, guys, we just need a little summer vacay.
We sure do.
We need a little summer hiatus.
Not from our lives, because we're still moms, and we're still doing all this stuff. But we're going to take
and
a little hiatus.
And we will still be on Instagram, and we will still be on Patreon.
Yeah.
But
Yes.
So we're just taking a break from uploading on our main feed. We will still be posting on Instagram, answering DMs. We'll be posting on our Patreon, which if you have not joined our Patreon, it's live now, which is so exciting.
So exciting, guys. We have some great content coming your way.
So much fun stuff. We can't wait to talk to you guys about it. Also for you to see how weird and silly and funny we are.
So much video content. So much you guys video. Have been asking for like more videos of all three of us together. So we'll deliver on that. So it'll be at the link in our bio on Instagram, Flights of Fantasy Podcast. But when we come back from break, hopefully we will be returning with this series.
Yes.
With book two.
Yes.
And book three, hopefully. So that will be coming whenever we return. So don't you worry. And this will be our last episode for a little bit, but you can always DM us on Instagram and chat with us there, or chat with us on Patreon.
Yes.
Which is so exciting.
So exciting.
Yeah. Make sure you're following us on Instagram and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next time, cheers and happy reading.
Cheers, listeners.
Cheers. Happy-